Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate, episode number 97 of the most interactive sports show in South Carolina. Great to be here with you. Happy Friday on a gorgeous day. Alonzo and I were just talking about, I heard this song Smells Like Teen Spirit in the restroom today. Totally brought me back to ninth grade, man. Totally brought me back. And I think music has an incredible, deja vu is a really weird experience.
Why would you want to go back to ninth grade, though? That's the most awkward time, ninth grade.
No, that wasn't a great time in my life, honestly. But it brought a smile to my face just because of what music can do to you, man. It was really kind of a cool thing. And I realized that I hadn't heard that song in a number of years. And it just, man, does music ever just grab you and just transport you back? What is your song that grabs you and takes you somewhere else? Right?
You know, when you first asked that, the very first song that popped into my head was Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. I can't believe I forgot who it was. That's a true sign of age.
Don't feel bad. I wouldn't be able to pull that song out of
the— You don't know Kashmir from Led Zeppelin. No. And this takes me back to my 10th grade year in football. I went to a school that was mostly black, and so there were like four or five white guys on the team.
Yep.
And we all sat underneath one tree, and three of us were cousins, and my cousin played that song over and over again, and all the guys on the team called it Kill Your Mama music. And so anytime I hear that, I think of that and I smile about it.
Remember the guy who texted me the other day and he said, I said, who are you? And he said, your mom, right?
Exactly.
Remember that? All right. Be that as it may, that question is open there for you as well. What's that song that always, no matter what, whenever it plays, it transports you somewhere? And it works better if you haven't heard the song in a great period of time, right? But if you think about the weird phenomenon known as deja vu, isn't that a weird thing? Like, deja vu has something to do with memory, but it also, it's weird because it almost like, when you're in a moment of deja vu, it's almost like you're living in the past for a moment. You're losing track of whether you're losing track of your current reality, right? You can't tell if you're living in present day or you're living in 4 years ago, 5 years ago, or however many years ago. All right, we do it each and every day at this particular time. We call it the top three at three, and the top three at three begins right now. All right, if you're on the line, please hold. We will get to you as soon as we possibly can here. Folks, you have to put an asterisk next to this year's NBA Finals champion. And I'm sorry, because Toronto did nothing wrong here. But the reality is, you can't claim to be a viable NBA champion, to be the viable end to an NBA dynasty, if a team is missing two Hall of Famers when you beat them. I've heard your counter-arguments. People are throwing sharp, pointy things on me today. Michael Stathakis tweeted into the show, one of our listeners, and he said, you know, Toronto beat Golden State to the punch year after year after year, the whole year. And the reality is, I don't believe that to be the case. Golden State has more talent than Toronto. Golden State got injured. Toronto was very smart to practice that load management thing where they rested Kawhi Leonard throughout the year. He only played in three quarters of the games. They rested Kyle Lowry, 34 years old, throughout the year. He missed 17 games during the year with load management and rest. Steve Kerr of the Warriors said, you know what? Steve Kerr said that he feels like 5 years of NBA Finals participation really wore down the Warriors in the end, really had a cumulative effect. So credit to Toronto for being ahead of the curve in terms of resting the players. But you can't tell me that this is a legitimate non-asterisk championship when they won with two Hall of Famers out. Folks, Klay Thompson tore his ACL in the game last night. Golden State was going to win that. They were going to win that game. You had your first and third best player suffer the two most gruesome injuries that a basketball player could possibly suffer. So I opened the NBA record book today, and I looked at the recent champions, and I see the 2015-2016 Cleveland Cavaliers. I see the 2016-2017 Golden State Warriors. I see the 2017-2018 Golden State Warriors, and I see the 2018-2019 Toronto Raptors, only there's that little star next to the Raptors' name, because there was no Kevin Durant, there was no Klay Thompson when it mattered most throughout the series. But Mark Ryan, you're saying, Toronto's the only team that's won due to injuries? What about the Cavaliers when Kyrie and Love were out injured? People forget that the only reason the Cavs won at all is because Draymond Green got himself suspended. If not for that, Golden State wins that series in five games. As it was, Cleveland winning that title was such a miracle. It was their 1 out of 10. They landed their miracle. But look, all things considered, yes, the title has an asterisk to it. It has to. But still, Masai Ujiri, their director of player development, their president of basketball operations, did an amazing job putting that together. And consider this for a minute, folks. How amazing is it that that entire team, that entire Toronto Raptors team, has not one player drafted before number 15 in the NBA draft? The entire team. Incredible accomplishment, injuries or not. Next up, folks, I believe that the Charlotte Hornets should let Kemba Walker walk. I think sometimes in life, bottoming out is very, very helpful to you. I really, really do. I've bottomed out a few times in my life. If you're living a mediocre existence, which the Charlotte Hornets are doing right now, sometimes taking a step back allows you to take two steps forward. And they should let Kemba Walker go, because they're not going to win anytime soon. Because Kemba Walker's 29 years old. Because his game is predicated on quickness. And by the time you get enough pieces around him, he's not going to have that quickness anymore. Take a step back, lose a bunch, let Kemba Walker go, get some high draft picks, get some salary cap flexibility, bottom out, take a step back to take two steps forward. Their general manager, Mitch Kupchak, said their number one priority is to keep Kemba Walker. I translate that as their number one priority is to continue to be mediocre. I think it's much better to bottom out than to be mediocre. Don't you? And Kemba Walker's a fantastic player, and he's had a great career here. But I have no belief, when you look at that roster, that they're going to be able to do anything with that particular player. He doesn't fit the window for what they need to rebuild. They need a five-year plan. They need to start over. And again, sometimes it's okay to press the reset button. I don't know why everyone's so afraid of doing that. Let Kemba Walker go. Get the salary cap flexibility, get some draft picks, maybe do a sign-and-trade, and be the victors for that in the end. And finally, folks, is Clemson's current dynasty, and let's establish right now that they do, in fact, have a dynasty. I define a dynasty as multiple championships over a 4 or 5 year period. By my estimation, Clemson is actually entering year 8 of their dynasty. So is this cyclical, or is it going to, or could it be permanent? Is this a blip or a trend? I want to say that the Clemson dynasty is going to last as long as Dabo Swinney is there. But how long is he going to be there? He's on record as saying he'll leave the day that college athletics becomes no longer is amateur athletics. He's on record as saying that. I think we're very close to an era. We might even get an announcement later this summer that college athletes can profit from their likeness. I think we're very close to being in that era. Is that the trigger that makes Dabo leave, jump to the NFL? I don't think you have to worry about him going to Alabama. But what's amazing is when you look at, I went back and I studied the 15 greatest dynasties in college football history, and here's what I found. The average length of a dynasty is 10.2 years. Clemson is entering year 8 right now. It always ends in a surprise, as did the Golden State Warriors. It never ends the way you think it's going to end, and it's always shocking. So how will Clemson's dynasty end? And will it be ending anytime soon? Those are today's top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do on the most interactive show in South Carolina by giving us a ring at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. The text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter is there for you at ESPN Upstate, at MARC Ryan on Air, at Lonzo on Word. And you can also email the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. The top three at three today. Let's start it out with Daryl, who's up first. Daryl, thanks so much for the call, brother. You're offsides. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking the call. I hope you're feeling better, Mark.
Hey, buddy, hey, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, well, I know. Pollen's killing everybody.
Yeah.
Let's see, Clemson. Take the point, too, although, just to say 10 years. 10 years of dynasty. I think the recruiting and the coaching will last. If you want to put an asterisk beside Toronto, that's okay. And I don't really know what's going on with Atlanta. Why the Atlanta Braves? Why do they not want to get some better pitching?
Well, they just got Dallas Keuchel, right?
Yeah. But I'm talking about the bullpen too. It's got to be shored up. But I do think because of the recruiting classes that has been consistent in the last 10 years or 8 years with Clemson and the coaching staff, even though Chad Morris left to go to SMU and now he's in Arkansas, I just think that they are. Like he may be a CEO, like Alonzo said. He may be a CEO of a coaching crew. But they all love Clemson. I mean, Venables could have left many times, and he loves Clemson. He's there for the long haul. The kids love Dabo. The parents love Dabo. And he's got something working. And I have been a Clemson fan ever since I can remember. Greatly appreciate
Daryl. Hey, Daryl. Before I let you go, buddy. Sure. Before I let you go, you had a song that brought you back. What is your song?
Oh yeah. Well, anything by Journey, but Stone in Love.
Stone in Love.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, Stone in Love by Journey. It was one of the greatest albums I've ever heard. But yeah, I went and seen them a lot of times, and they sounded just like the radio or just like the CD.
Daryl, thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much for the call, Daryl. I do appreciate it, buddy. Great to hear from you. Let's get to James, who's up next. Hey, James. Hey, James, you're offsides, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, man. How you doing today?
Fantastic, buddy.
Hey, just wanted to chime in on this Clemson dynasty thing. I honestly, I'm a Carolina fan, but I think that they're here to stick around for a little bit longer. I think as long as the ACC is really just in a bad position right now. You've got Clemson, really the only bright spot in the entire conference. So, and you know, while their conference championship continues for Clemson to get to play a team with a 7-win season as their opponent and as best opponent in a conference championship, they're going to continue to dominate. They'll get to the playoffs unscathed because they had to play the likes of Boston College and Florida State and NC State is their biggest competition throughout the year. Where are they going to go if they're bringing in the recruiting talent that they are? There's no competition for them to even play during the regular season.
James, let me ask you this question, okay? Because I've looked at I was looking at some projections like predicted margin of victory, stuff like that for their schedule this year. It's called the S&P. What is Clemson's toughest game this year in terms of closest projected margin of victory? Okay. What is it? What do you think?
I'd say South Carolina.
It's South Carolina is Clemson's most difficult game this year. Projected margin of victory over Texas A&M, according to the S&P, 14 points. Projected margin of victory over over Texas A&M over South Carolina. Projected margin of victory 12 points. They think at South Carolina is a more tough game than against Texas A&M. And no offense, Gamecocks fans, but if that is your most difficult game, you're right about the schedule not being up to snuff, right?
Oh, absolutely. And they've gotten lucky. I mean, back in the day, Florida State, you know, had some talent. Georgia Tech is always going to give people fits with the triple option, but that's gone. That head coach is gone, right? So, really, in the ACC, I know South Carolina lost to Virginia, so we don't have anything to, you know, really say. But, I mean, if I'm with our record last year, I'm good enough to win a conference championship in the ACC. So, I know, again, they're good and they get to own saying they win in all these national championships, but my God, look at how easy it is to get there.
For Clemson, it's really easy to get there. I think you'll find this interesting, though, James. The S&P has Clemson with a projected record of 11-1 this year. So I think that's really interesting. With that schedule, would one loss get them in to the college football playoff?
Yeah.
I think that's really, really interesting.
They're always going to get in. You're talking about with the last guy, the players love Dabo,
the media loves him too. Right.
Everybody
but if you're going to get him, if you're going to get him early, and Texas A&M has a chance to get him early. And before the wheels are fully in motion there. James, great call, man. Thanks so much. Do really, really appreciate it, buddy. Lots to get to there as well. The question that we asked is Clemson's dynasty cyclical or permanent? Is it a blip or a trend? I think it's rapidly entering one of the 15 greatest dynasties in the history of college football. The average of these 15 dynasties lasts 10 years. The average dynasty lasts 10 years. And when I look at Clemson football, I'm guessing that the dynasty started in 2012 when they started a run of 11-2 seasons, right? Then two national championships the last 3 years. We're entering year 8 of that dynasty. Are there, in fact, only 3 years left of the Clemson dynasty? You can chime in at that at 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. How are you feeling if you're this guy in the NBA? We will tackle that next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Okay, how would you feel if you're this guy? But before we get to that, let's get to CJ, who's been hanging patiently on the Clemson dynasty. CJ, thanks for the call, bud. You're Offsides.
Hey, I just feel like the 3 years left comment was a little underrated. I feel like the dynasty may have started when we first made it to the national championship game. So I'd say it's maybe 4 years in out of a 10-year average.
Okay, so let's see here. And listen, everybody can have a different definition, CJ. It's not a scientific thing, right? So I was looking at the history of Clemson football here, and I said, okay, 10-4, 2011, they lost to the Mountaineers in the 2012 Orange Bowl. I'm going to say no, that's not the start of it. But then all of a sudden it flips and they're 11-2, 11-2, 10-3, 14-1. I could see that as the start. You're saying, okay, well, it might be when they lost in the college football playoff national championship to the Crimson Tide 2015. in which case that would make this next year year number five, with the average dynasty lasting 10 years of the best 15 dynasties in college football. Well, that puts a different paint job on things, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And then I just feel like if you look at the recruits that are coming in, especially the quarterbacks and the fact that it's wide receiver university, I think this dynasty could go a good five or six more years.
Five or six more years. There's certainly been dynasties that have lasted that long. Let me ask you this, CJ. Are you concerned that Dabo's on record as saying the day that college athletes are paid, he's out, and I feel like we're really close to that happening? Does that concern you?
It is a bit of a concern just because I feel like it's close to happening too with the conversations that are going on. But, you know, everybody can have a change of heart, so hopefully Dabo can take a step back and look at it and rethink the situation.
You got it. Hey, CJ, thanks for the call, bud. Really do appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Okay. How would you feel if you are this guy today? All right, this particular person, this particular player. And that player, oh, by the way, we got a text coming in. Kevin and Greer, Mark, my Transport Me Back song is Land of Confusion by Phil Collins. Are we taking requests today, Lonzo? You played your song that brought you back. Can we take requests here or no?
We can take them. It doesn't mean we're going to play them. That's a totally different thing.
Okay, so what are the rules between whether we can play them or not play them? Was yours already in the system and that's why you could play yours?
Yes.
Or are you just flexing your producer muscles and saying, I am going to play mine and nobody else gets to play this?
No, the request thing is a joke. Okay. I would play anything anyone asks if I were capable or allowed to.
Okay.
And allowed to is the key there.
Uh-huh.
And we're not allowed to if it's not already in the system. And it could be in the system in the building, but I don't have access to the system in the building from this room.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
So it's a matter of logistics. I have no problem with playing Land of Confusion. I like the song.
Land of Confusion by Phil Collins, Kevin and Greer. How would you feel if you're DeMar DeRozan today? Okay, if you're DeMar DeRozan. Now, DeMar DeRozan was the star player of the Toronto Raptors. And this brought a really evil, sly grin to Lonzo's mug here. He was a star player. He was the best player on the Raptors, better than Kyle Lowry. He was Batman. Kyle Lowry was the Robin. And he was also told by Masai Ujiri, who is the president of basketball operations with the Toronto Raptors, he was told, Lonzo, a year ago right now, that he was not going to be traded. Okay? We are not going to trade you. I know everyone's disappointed. We're going to work to build around you, so on and so forth. You're not going to be traded. Then, unexpectedly, Kawhi Leonard becomes available. Masai Ujiri trades DeMar DeRozan to the San Antonio Spurs. That pissed off Kyle Lowry, his teammate, so much that Kyle Lowry did not talk to his boss for 6 months. After that, Kyle Lowry did not talk to Masai Ujiri between June of 2018 and January of 2019. Wouldn't talk to him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I pulled a, sorry, boss, not going to talk to you for 6 months. I'm not happy with you right now. I would not be employed enough to finish this show, okay? To be able to finish this show. Kyle Lowry pulled that off for 6 months because Masai Ujiri had said to everybody, we're not going to trade DeMar DeRozan, had told that to DeMar DeRozan directly. DeMar DeRozan had relayed that to his best friend, Kyle Lowry. And then Masai Ujiri lied. He lied. That's what he did. So my question is, would you have done the same thing that Masai Ujiri did? There are certain things in life where principle is so important that I'm willing to take the loss. Okay? I'll take the loss because the principle of being a man of my word is more important to me. Is that one of those instances? If you had told DeMar DeRozan face-to-face, we're not going to move you, and then you trade him, what is that something you would do if it made your team better? Lonzo.
See, I wouldn't believe it. If Masai would have told me that, I wouldn't believe it because I know it's a business, and I don't think there's any – well, there may be like two or three guys that are untradeable. And that's it. And sorry, DeMar is not one of those. And the reason why I was laughing is just thinking, I didn't really think about it till then, man, he got screwed over.
And not only that, but now he's viewed Lonzo as the reason why they weren't winning the NBA Finals, which is totally unfair because LeBron James was in the East before this year, which was also unfair because every year prior, the Golden State Warriors were completely healthy.
LeBron is the main deal because Toronto had a better record than Cleveland the last couple years, and Cleveland still knocked them out of the playoffs.
Spanked them. Absolutely spanked them in the playoffs. It's not all that hard to figure out how and why Toronto is where they are, ladies and gentlemen. They got Kawhi Leonard, which improves the team. Okay? Not enough by itself to win the NBA title, except for the fact that LeBron went to the West. That gets the number one team out of the way. And then you have all the injuries with Golden State. So when you put the amazing acquisition of Kawhi Leonard that everybody said, damn, that's a risk. And by the way, do you not think we're going to see a lot of those trends now in the NBA where people in the past were saying, I'm not trading for Paul George. He says he's going to LA. I'm not trading for him. Oklahoma City trades for him, and Oklahoma City convinces an LA kid to stay in Podunkville, USA. Okay? And then, on top of that, you have Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't want to go to Toronto. He was bummed when it was announced that he was going to Toronto. And now he's an NBA champion in Toronto. Does winning the championship make Kawhi Leonard more or less likely to stay? Lonzo thinks it makes him more likely to stay. I think it makes him more likely to leave. Because now he owes them nothing. He doesn't feel bad by leaving.
I do have a question for you. If KD was healthy right now and you had a chance to trade for one or the other, KD or Kawhi, which one would you take?
No doubt about it, Lonzo, Kawhi Leonard.
Because he just proved that he could go to another team, be the leader, and win a championship.
When both players are at their best, Kevin Durant's the better player. Okay, he is. But Kawhi Leonard is not breaking down that way anymore. Kawhi Leonard is healthy. Kawhi Leonard gives me defense. And I have the major, you know, to use the Monopoly analogy, Lonzo, do you ever play that game back growing up as a kid?
I still play it.
Come on. Play it. Fantastic. Yes. Kawhi Leonard is the community chess card that's always going to give you something good. Kevin Durant is the orange chance card where you don't know you could be going to jail for that, which is NBA purgatory, which is not having any money to do anything. Well, who would you take?
Oh, I definitely would take Kawhi, for sure. I mean, again, you know, KD had to leave his own team where he was the leader and go to a team, a front-running team, to win a championship. Kawhi was on a team that won a championship and left and won a championship with a team that couldn't get it done, couldn't even get to the finals before then. And the first time, I mean, we watched history last night. That's the first time Toronto ever won a championship. I thought that was really cool.
It was such a cool scene. I think there's no better place to win a championship, folks, than Toronto. Why? Because if you win it in an NBA championship in Charlotte, if Kemba Walker wins a championship in Charlotte, he's famous in Charlotte, right? You win a championship in Toronto, you're famous in Canada. You're famous in the country, man. One country, one team. What a massive scene out there. Love to see it. All of which brings us to this. I'm thrilled with this sense. We now have the league back. We now have the NBA back. Ding dong, the witch is dead, right? Or so we think. So what does the lay of the land in the NBA look like next year? That's next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Text of the day goes to Billy and Taylor's on the text line 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. He goes, Mark, on the Clemson dynasty conversation, so I was asking how long is this dynasty going to last? You're depending on how when you define the start of Clemson's dynasty, I think they're in year eight. I looked at the 15 best dynasties in the history of college football, and the average dynasty lasts 10.2 years. Clemson might only have 3 years left of this thing. So on that note, Billy and Taylor's text in, Mark, you got to understand, these Clemson fans calling in being reasonable, saying 3 to 6 more years, they're talking dog years. Which would be less than 1 year, Billy. Less than 1 year left of a dynasty for Clemson's dynasty. Man, that cracked me up, brother. I read that during the break, and I was literally dying. So good stuff, Billy. Good stuff there. All right. The lay of the land in the NBA right now, and I'm so pumped because we've got the NBA back right now. Golden State has lost the NBA Finals 2 out of the last 4 years. They've been in the finals 5 years in a row, but they've lost it 2 out of the last 4 years. And when you consider that Kevin Durant is likely to leave, and when you consider that they're going to lose DeMarcus Cousins, and when you consider that Klay Thompson, in really tragic fashion, tore his ACL yesterday in a game that Golden State would have won if he had not, and I feel confident saying that, which is why I put the asterisk next to Toronto's title. All of that, I don't even know if Golden State's going to make the playoffs next year. I mean, think about this for a minute. Steph Curry, Draymond Green. And by the way, can I just say, Draymond Green last night, end of the game, played like an idiot. Played like an idiot. 2 minutes left, he gets the ball in the post, fumbles around, looks like he's getting fouled, loses the ball, and then instead of running back, complains, right? Then Pascal Siakam is driving to the hoop. He goes for the steal. Instead of staying in front of Siakam, gives Siakam a layup. Then finally, on the last possession, he calls a timeout. He Chris Webbers the situation when they had no timeouts. And like he's emotional and he's demonstrative and he's getting technical fouls. Folks, let me tell you something, all right? And this is, I'm entering a no-drama phase of my life, all right? I'm just going to announce that, Lonzo. I don't want drama in my life. I'm entering a no-drama phase in my life. And I've shared this in many of my relationships over the years, okay? But when somebody yells, they've lost me, okay? They've lost me. When somebody, you can have a conversation about something, but when it gets to the point where someone's screaming at you, that's where you've lost me. And Draymond Green, and I love this guy. I love this guy. The end of the game last night, he played with the IQ of a sock, okay? Really. I mean, he played out of control. He played like he was about to start crying. He played like he wasn't getting his way as a kid at Toys R Us when he was 5 years old. And he was, you know, displaying and stomping his feet and yelling and making dumb decisions on the basketball court. I'm entering a no-drama zone, ladies and gentlemen. When you yell like that, you've lost me. And when you yell like that, you're deciding that the conversation is over because I'm out once you yell. So if you want the conversation to be over, if I'm an NBA official, act the way that Draymond Green does. The conversation's done. Oh, you want to talk to me? Okay, you want to talk to me? Well, you best come to me in a calm demeanor in which we can actually communicate here. Because if you come to me whining and screaming and cursing and flailing your arms around, and I'm not going to run back on defense because I'm going to take my basketball and go home, even though it's one of the most important possessions in the entire year, man, I got no time for that. I got no time for that at all. So where do the Golden State Warriors go from here? Where do they go from here? What is that team today? Because we saw that team. We saw Steph and Draymond and nobody else against the Raptors. And what did they lose by, 20 points at home in game 3? We saw that game. That game wasn't pretty. They have an outside shot. They could do kind of a wink-wink kind of deal with DeMarcus Cousins where they say to him, hey, if you'll take the mid-level exception, which is $5 million, for 2 more years, we will then have your bird rights. There's something called a bird exception where once you've had a player for 3 years, you can pay them whatever you want. you can exceed the salary cap to pay them. So they could say, hey, if you'll take $5 million for two more years, we promise you we're going to give you a maximum contract for 5 years the first chance we can. Would that work? I have no idea, but I think it's probable that Boogie Cousins is going to leave. I think it's probable that Kevin Durant is going to leave. I think it's likely that they're not going to have the services of Klay Thompson until March or April, if at all, next season at the earliest. Are Steph Curry and Draymond Green by themselves a playoff team? With Quinn Cook and Kawhi Looney and aging Andre Iguodala, the rest of those guys? Lonzo, how do you see it? I mean, are they a playoff team with Draymond and Steph? Maybe they add another player at the mid-level exception. Let's say they get a player like of Danny Green's caliber of Toronto, right? They get a guy who can shoot a little bit that's nowhere near what Klay Thompson is. Is that a playoff team?
I don't think so. I think they're in trouble. I really do, unless they can pull off some sort of killer trade, which they've brought people in before that you didn't think they'd be able to, like KD, like Boogie Cousins, who I think is overrated, by the way, because, man.
He's not himself right now.
Well, even still, so you'd want him on your team?
He's not at the price point that he's likely to get, probably not. Okay, because that guy's a headache, man. What did I just say in this segment, Lonzo? I'm entering a no drama period of my life right now.
Yeah, there was big time pouting going on from him the last couple games.
Last 20 years of his life, there's been a lot of pouting going on. They got great value for him at $5 million. I don't know if I like him any more than that. I don't know if I want him on my team. All right, coming up next, the best thing we heard today is it's really funny. Have you ever seen a situation where athletes flip the script and athletes become the media? That's what the best thing we heard today is, and it's next right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Friday. Thanks for putting up with me this week. Thanks to Lonzo for putting up with me this week, as I've been, the sinuses, you can probably still hear it.
There's a Kermit the Frog quality to your voice.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate that. I sang karaoke last night, Lonzo. Imagine trying to sing karaoke with this kind of thing going on. But I've been noticing, the coughing on a scale of 1 to 10 was like a 9 on Tuesday. It was a 10 on Wednesday. Then it went down to like a 4 yesterday and like a 2 today. So I'm moving in the right direction here. I think I'm moving in the right direction, slowly but surely. All right. I love when you get to flip the script. Like, I love to see media members play sports and, like, fans and listeners get to play with their idols. And I also think it's really cool when players suddenly try to do our job and they try to become media members. Last night after the NBA Finals, Kyle Lowry left the podium, sat with the media, and then surprised his teammate Fred VanVleet. Fred VanVleet was suddenly surprised at whom the question came from.
Don't ask no damn question back there, man.
Kyle Lowry, Toronto Raptors. Fred, how does it feel to be a world champion?
It's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable to have guys like Kyle Lowry on your team who step up and go for 15 in the first quarter, you know, but should have had 50. But, you know, he slowed down, so I just want to come out there in the second half and bail him out and try to help him for his legacy. You know, they kill my man all the time in the playoffs. He gets more slandered than everybody I ever seen in the league. And so to have him be able to hold that trophy up tonight, that's what means the most for us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Kyle Lowry interviewing Fred VanVleet. And I love stuff like that, man. And what a story Fred VanVleet is, man. Guy wasn't drafted, all right? And how about it? Even though I said, yeah, the title has an asterisk next to it, and it does, how about the fact that a team won an NBA championship with not one player on the team drafted before pick number 15 in the NBA draft? Not one player on the team was a lottery pick. Unbelievable to consider. All right, straight up with Sturge, with my buddy, my former producer in Tampa, Jeff Pantridge, sitting in alongside Diesel's, coming your way next, right here on ESPN Upstate. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.